Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
We had so many questions come in the last time we talked about this topic. I thought it was time for a second show on integrated shield plans. Yes, we are talking about IP plans today because I know it hurts your brain to try to process the entire policy document of every single integrated shield plan that you would like to consider. So today I thought we'd try to break it down as simply as possible so that you can make the best choices for yourself. All right. So first, the basics. An integrated shield plan is an optional health coverage plan that's provided by private insurance companies. MediShield covers public hospitals and B2 and C-class wards. Your IP plan, integrated shield plan, usually covers private hospitals as well as B1 and A-class wards. So picking an IP plan means making your mind up about the standard of healthcare that you want to receive and then looking out for that IP plan that will deliver that. So to do that, you need to know what to look for in an integrated shield plan. I think in terms of three things: the premiums that you're willing to pay, pre and post hospitalization coverage, and the costs that you want covered here, and the limits of the annual coverage. Are there a couple more factors? Probably, especially given the changes that have taken place earlier this month, because, you know, from 1st April this year, all integrated shield plan riders, those optional riders, they will require 5% co-payment with a $3,000 Singapore cap per year, $3,000 Singapore cap. So we're going to find out more about the factors you need to keep in mind when choosing your IP plan with an expert. Her name is Chuen Ting Weber, Chief Executive and Chief Investment Officer of Money Owl. Money Owl is a joint venture between NTUC Enterprise Cooperative and Provident Holding Private Limited. And they help you plan for your retirement and find the insurance that you really need. Chuen Ting, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. In your opinion, Chuen Ting, how do the changes that kicked in 1st of April, how do they impact consumers?
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for that great introduction that you did on IP. I think that was really good and useful. Yeah. So in a nutshell, from 1st April, what's happened is that insurers have started to downgrade their integrated shield plan full rider to riders requiring co-payment, and even for existing policyholders. So this is what has been going on in the media with a lot of people feeling a bit helpless about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the impact, I think maybe for existing policyholders, there will be three areas of impact.
Okay.
First is how much you pay. Second is your choice of doctor. And thirdly is what you might need to do in terms of pre-authorization. So if we go on to the first one, which is how much you need to pay, well, paying $0 for a hospital bill will be a thing of the past for everyone now. This is because when your IP comes up for annual renewal sometime this year, the insurers will no longer renew the existing full riders, which will have covered you from the first dollar. Instead, you will have a partial co-pay, and as you said, the main type offered by all insurers is a 5% co-pay. So if you have a $20,000 bill, for example, you have to pay a minimum of $1,000. But the good part is, Michelle, you can also pay less premiums. So there's a range of reductions in premiums among the insurers, some as high as 40 or 50%, depending on age. Others maybe 15% or so, so it could be $100 or it could even be $1,000 of savings. So this is about how much you pay. But secondly, you mentioned also the $3,000 cap, and this is where that second point about the doctor that you choose comes in. So if you want to limit this 5%, you need to engage a doctor who is on the insurance panel. Otherwise, if your bill is very large, your 5% co-payment becomes very large. So, for example, if your bill is $200,000, 5% is $10,000. If your doctor is not on the panel, you have to pay all that 10% under the 5% co-pay. But if your doctor is on the panel, then this will be capped at $3,000 per policy year. this can be quite a big thing, Michelle, because it can be rather distressing as well, you imagine, if you had a certain specialist you've been seeing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you have a certain specialist that you consult, it's a good idea to check if they're on your insurer's panel list, right? And then you can make your decision there as to which rider you need.
Yes, that is a quite important consideration, actually. But there's a third point, which is about pre-authorization, that for some insurance companies may be able to help you out on this choice of panel doctor. So some insurers have this process of pre-authorization for treatment, mm-hmm. mainly for private hospitals. And at least for one insurer, if you seek pre-authorization, you can actually use a non-panel doctor and get that approved with the $3,000 cap for that particular treatment. Mm-hmm. So that's good. This is one insurer has that. And for another insurer, they don't have that kind of non-panel concession with pre-authorization. But you do get some benefits if you seek pre-authorization, like a longer period of the coverage for pre- and post-hospitalization claims, okay. higher limits, and so on.
So yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot, but we are all about public information. Can you say who the insurer is?
Oh, yeah, of course. We're not saying that he's the only one with
this,
it.
Yes.
That's actually AIA, and that's because it might be my issue of an insurer. Yeah.
So this is the insurer that with pre-authorization, I might be able to see the doctor and get my procedure done if my doctor is not on the list?
That's right. It's of course case by case, depends on how. I mean, this pre-authorization is about cost control, right? About over-servicing and all that. Yeah. So that is the condition that we've seen at least the AI issue.
Usually, right? With pre-authorization certification, does that mean I would have to pay higher co-payments usually for this option because there's flexibility involved?
In this particular plan, no. It's part of the features of the plan, but the thing about this Integrated Shield plans with all the changes is that there are so many variations now amongst the insurance companies, and it's actually quite tough to compare and like you said, right, make your brain hurt. Yeah, so I think, but I'm not sure if this is should be the main criteria for you. For some people, it could be because it is by treatment, right? So you cannot. It's not about inserting your doctor into the panel. Mm-hmm. It is more like for that treatment, you are able to use that particular option, and it's quite a side benefit and probably a little bit specific to this particular insurer. Yeah.
Okay, so just to recap for the listener who may have joined us, in terms of changes to the IP scheme, it's payment, how much you'll have to pay, because the days of having everything covered completely by a rider are behind us. You have to consider the specialists that you choose or the kind of doctor that you hope to see and whether or not they're on your insurer panel list, and this whole concept of pre-authorization, right? How comfortable are you also as well to call into your insurer to get that pre-authorization? Some people not so comfortable with all those extra steps they have to take.
In some cases, it's actually compulsory, right? So it depends. Yeah. So it depends on insurer to insurer. For example, if you have a letter of guarantee that you need from to not pay the upfront deposit at some hospitals, then you effectively have to go through that pre-authorization anyway.
Okay. I hope you're still with us, listener, because now we're going to step into deep water here. We've been treading water. Here we go into the riders, the range of riders available, Chuen Ting. Maybe you could break it down for us. I thought it might be useful if we started with what millennials may wish to consider.
Okay, so the riders are the same for everyone, regardless of age. So hospitalization expense insurance, Michelle, is actually one of the few types of insurance you need for the whole of your life. So you need to get it as early as possible. So be you a millennial, or even for babies, or even for older folks, you should consider hospitalization insurance, and with that, think about the riders, whether it's appropriate for you. So all 7 IP providers have a 5% copay rider with the $3,000 cap for using panel doctors. Now, some of them also offer a 10% copay rider, where you pay a higher amount if there's a claim, but in return you get a lower premium. So how much lower between 10% and 5%? So let's say for a 35-year-old with NTUC income, for the highest plan, the private hospital plan, the 10% copay is just over $200. The 5% is over $600.
Wow.
Yeah, so it can be as much as a third or lower, or maybe kind of half in some for some ages.
Can I ask a question? This 10% copay, is it also capped at 3,000?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So for that particular insurer NTUC income, that's also, if you use the panel, it's also kept at 3,000. So you might wondering, like,
what's
so
the difference?
What's the difference,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I guess it's about you know, if you are kind of very unlucky and you keep going in for like small kind of cases, you know, and also it depends on whether you're going to restructure hospital or the A-class ward. There's a big difference between that and the private hospital. Your bills might actually not be so high. So 10% or the extra 5% each time could actually add up for you if you happen to be so unlucky as to be in and out. There is an additional, I would say almost penalty if you use a non-panel doctor under the 10% copay option for this insurer. Because remember, it's not that you can't use a non-panel doctor. You can. It's just that there is no cap of 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the 10% copay rider, besides there being no cap, you have to pay a $2,000 kind of pay sort of another $2,000 as a kind of almost disincentive, you know, for you to use. There's extra disincentive for using non-panel doctor under that 10% payment. So I guess it's a balance between affordability and a kind of peace of mind if you do happen to think that you might be in that kind of frequent in and out kind of situation.
Crystal clear, Chin Ting. Thank you for that. Have we covered millennials completely? Is there anything you wanted to add before we moved on to maybe what a family provider might wish to consider?
Perhaps it's actually around the same consideration have for millennials, and this is about taking care of actually your family, because your finances are impacted. Also, say when your parents are ill and your parents, the older people, don't have a proper shield plan, or rather proper medical expenses covered.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of learned this the hard way, because when I was a young person, I took my insurance and my husband's were like perfect, you know. But there are a few things. One is that I can't tell you how my parents' insurance, I assume they got it sorted, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I can't tell you how many credit card points I racked up at the hospital bills. So the other thing about the millennials and all that is that you do have to keep looking at your insurance, because these kind of changes do happen, right? So I have a very young sister, and she is thinking, oh, something's happening to IP. And you can't just ignore it. And this is the mistake I made also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I sort of signed up for the basic income shield for my husband. And then after a while, he became uninsurable for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He probably should have gone for a higher plan then. So this is one potential consideration you have. If you are able to afford it, you may want to consider a higher plan now, and then because you can always downgrade, it's hard actually to upgrade. Yeah.
Okay, so I know people say, you know, I can use my MediSave to pay for my family's integrated shield plan. So is there a plan that can cover my entire family?
There used to be a kind of like, I think Aviva used to have a kind of family arrangement, but actually we need to have individual shield plans now. You might get a discount for having your whole family on it, yeah. But it's basically an individual shield plan,
I
so
see.
your baby can have an individual one,
yes.
and yourself, each one of you in the family. Yeah.
So ask for that family discount if
That's
you're
right.
going in for it together. I love these tips.
That's right, yeah. So ask your advisor, you know, like, because if you know, you have four, and I have a colleague who, you know, in the previous plan was great because, like, all the children are free and she has four children.
Wow.
But it's no longer like that anymore.
Oh dear. All right. So what should anybody keep in mind if they need to see a specialist regularly? Have we covered that thoroughly?
I think for specialists, I think what is important to bear in mind is that in the context of IP coverage, not all, in fact, most specialist consultations are actually not covered by IP. Most of the time, it's only pre- and post-hospitalization treatment.
Right.
But the first appointment prior to a chemo or dialysis is also covered, because chemo and dialysis for these long-term treatments, they are covered under the Shield Plan. But it's not like, you know, the follow-up appointments after each dialysis, they are not covered. So therefore, this is a gap, and what you need to do is to plan carefully whether you need to see a specialist and a private one at that. So for example, if you are recovering from heart attack or you're monitoring that kind of like lipids, cholesterol, hypertension, you can actually use a GP. You need not actually use a specialist. And now the government has a very good scheme under the Green Charge Card, which means that even if you have a high income, you can apply for this Green Charge Card, and you cover you for all these chronic illnesses and their medicines, and it's actually very, very cheap at the GPs. So so for IP, actually this doesn't cover everything, especially specialist outpatient treatments. But if you think that you want to be doing some treatment at a hospital, and perhaps you might want to seek this surgery from this specialist, then it's again a good idea to make sure a specialist is within the approved panel of doctors. Then this will cap your out-of-pocket expenses to the $3,000 that you have to pay.
All right. These are gems of tips. Chuen Ting Weber is Chief Executive and Chief Investment Officer of Money Owl. They're an NTUC social enterprise. So, you know, we were talking a little earlier about pre-authorization, and not everybody is comfortable calling in and getting that pre-authorization. And then they're worried, without that pre-authorization, will I have to pay more in terms of my co-payment? So is there a rider that lets anybody bypass the need for pre-authorization?
Unfortunately not, Michelle, because actually pre-authorization, the thinking behind it is to prevent over servicing and overcharging. And in fact, I would say that perhaps Singaporeans need to get a little bit more used to some of these new things you need to do, like pre-authorization or even claims-based pricing, which is something that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
But at least I think three Shield Plan providers have said that they are going to introduce claims-based pricing. Now, this is quite common in international insurance, so it's just something that's more that we are not so used to, but it's probably going to be the way of the future, because other insurers have also indicated that they're likely to go in that direction.
Okay, so what is claims-based pricing?
Claims-based pricing is a bit like your car insurance, right? When you have your premium for the coming year depends on whether you have made claims. So the idea is that the people who claim more sort of pay more, so that the healthy people don't subsidize you. So literally, you can get actually a no-claim discount, they call it that, and in some insurer, the NCD. So let's say they didn't claim for 5 years, you get 25% of your premium. Yeah, and if you do claim, then you might pay more each the next year. And going back to the example I had, which was AIA, just for decoration purposes, Money Owl doesn't actually carry AIA products, but just to give you an example, they have different tiers of premiums, level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. Everyone starts at the level 1, and then if you claim a lot or very frequently, you might go all the way up to about 2 times your current premium. So claims-based pricing is that. The Health Insurance Task Force, I think, has not decided whether this is a good thing, because from over consumption, you could end up right the other side, right? It's like not wanting to service, not wanting to repair your car, except this is not your car, this is your body, right? So, so don't let that prevent you from getting the medical treatment you need. But it's just something that we have to get used to, that claims-based pricing is probably the way of the future when it comes to health insurance in Singapore.
That makes sense. So we've covered millennials, we've covered the family provider. What about retirees? You know, I'm looking around for an IP for my mom, for example, older than 65. Do you have any tips for retirees who want to join the IP scheme on picking a plan?
Okay, I think it really boils down to affordability versus healthcare expectation, but perhaps I want to sort of provide a sort of more general tip for retirees, but also for everyone, and it's actually more operational. Firstly, please gyro all your payments for the IP, okay? Because this is a risk that insurers don't really like, but what you don't want to end up is missing your annual premium payments, because it can be very difficult to get it reinstated, and so that's one. Secondly, is if you are already, I'm not sure if you are, does your mom already have an IP?
Yes, she did.
Yes, okay. So this is where, be it for a retiree or for non-retirees, you might want to not easily change your IP provider. This is because if you need to undergo medical underwriting again, and where if there are pre-existing conditions, they won't be covered. Now, pre-existing conditions can actually be existing in your body. Like before, they don't may not manifest symptoms. So you might think, I'm actually very healthy. But if you do happen to have a claim within that first year, especially, insurers will take a second look. Right? They'll scrutinize that claim. And unfortunately, there have been instances where insurers say, I know that you're not out to cheat me, but you already, from the size, say, of that growth, you had this existence. There's this condition pre-existing in your body, right? So we want to avoid that kind of situation. Also, if possible, if you are considering, especially when it comes to retirees, you're really quite old, you don't know what's going on, you can try to keep within your insurer if possible, right? And if you want to upgrade, you can apply for medical underwriting to upgrade. So back to retirees, I think it is actually quite expensive. So if you are talking about covering hospital, private hospital, the basic, or rather the main plan would cost you like over $2,000 a year. And if you want that 5% rider, you add another $3,500, so it's like almost $6,000 for someone above 65. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's 10%, then all is $4,000. So this is actually quite hefty. You might want to consider sort of government hospital coverage. So just one notch down. So instead of private, if you consider A-class one instead, that is like kind of half the premium of the private hospital cost. So there are, because there are more important things in retirement beyond paying premiums, right, for hospitalization, like, enjoying your life and your well. Yeah, so consider that, it's still very comfortable in A-class one, in government hospital. Yeah, so it's really the private hospital where the cost really balloon out for both insurers and therefore us.
Yeah. Does that include restructured hospitals as well, A-class ward?
Oh, yes. So I'm using government and restructured sort of interchangeably, yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, by the time you're 65, you know your body really well. You're probably on some sort of cholesterol medication, that you have some sort of pre-existing condition like a heart disease or diabetes or asthma. What is medical underwriting and why should, how can a retiree think through this?
So I think that we need to understand that insurance only covers sort of unknown risks. So once the risk is known, for example, you have high cholesterol, then the insurer likely will not cover you. If you were looking at other kinds of insurance other than the Shield insurance, you might be able to still have that coverage with loading. But in the sense for Shield plans, there is no ability to load. You can't say that you pay more premium because you're unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So it is either an exclusion or they don't cover you at all. Gosh. So when it comes to especially older people, once you have pre-existing conditions, but of course the first thing is don't ever cancel your IP before you apply for the new one and get it approved. And what I said earlier about trying to keep within the same insurer, I think it applies.
Wait, so I have to get my new IP before I cancel my old IP?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So basically what happens is that when you get your new IP, the insurer or the advisor will enable you to cancel your old IP because you can only hold one at any time. Yeah, so don't cancel it and then start looking for another one.
Why wouldn't I do that? Because most people think that's how you wrap things up and then you move on.
No. When it comes to insurance, don't do that. Don't ever do that because you do not know whether you'll be accepted. Oh. You do not know whether the conditions are good. So for the exclusion for IP, so I'll share that for my mom, she had a lower level plan, like a B plan, and then we upgraded her to a sort of private plan. But she for that upgraded portion, it applied to everything except for her hypertension related to all the heart things and the stroke things. But we decided to do it because there are many other conditions for which we wanted that better care for her. For example, her knee surgeries and all that, for which she would then benefit from that higher plan. So there can be that kind of split coverage issues, and this is so on one hand, it's not like saying that you, if you have one condition and you have certain exclusions, that you can you give up on it altogether. So there is that consideration. But of course, when you go to hospital, it is still safer to go for that lower class ward, because you all know all conditions are sort of linked to one another, right? Mm-hmm. So there is that complication there.
Okay. And for people listening in thinking, you know, cancer is so prevalent, I hear about cancer rates all the time. Do I need disease-specific coverage in addition to my IP plan?
So cancer is sort of the number one cause of death in Singapore, and I think the Singapore Cancer Society thinks that one in four people might get cancer at some point. But there's actually a silver lining to all these scary stats. We know we're doing quite a lot of screening and pre-screening nowadays. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we may be discovering more because of this and discovering them at an earlier stage. So there are two types of insurance coverage for cancer that you might want to consider. First, it is coverage for the treatment, so surgery and chemo. Now, so your IP plan should take care of that. The other is actually replacement of income. So sometimes we overlook this, but when you have cancer, you may not be able to work for a certain amount of time, just like if you have other critical illnesses like a heart attack or so. We recommend about 3 to 5 years of income for you to replace your income so you can recuperate during this time. Now, why 3 to 5 years? Unfortunately, if you do not survive beyond 3 to 5, you either survive beyond 3 to 5 years, or you will not survive this critical illness sort of even that long. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's this this recommendation, including from the Life Insurance Association of Singapore, around kind of 3 to 5 years. So for this, for purpose of replacing income, then we recommend a critical illness insurance that includes cancer, but also other types of critical illness like heart attack. I'll recommend a more complete critical illness plan over a cancer-only plan, because you cannot predict what you will get. Right? You cannot say that I'm only going to get cancer, I'm not going to get this, or if I get cancer, I won't get this, for example. So, of course, you can get an additional cancer-only plan as a booster or top-up if you wish to. You don't really need a whole life plan. This is for replacement of income, so a term plan should do, and this should mean you get to keep the premiums quite affordable. And please get it as young as you can. I think that is a general rule for insurance, for insurability, continued insurability. And the premiums are also low, and for critical illness insurance, the premiums are then kept low. They are kept level in most cases for the rest of your life.
Grateful for your insight, Chuen Ting. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Oh, I wish I had this money owl on my shoulder every time I went to apply for, you know, anything to do with insurance. Chuen Ting Weber is Chief Executive, Chief Investment Officer of Money Owl. They're an NTUC social enterprise. And you've been with me right here on Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.